Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's go
aboard. Happy Wednesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour deflector shield shindig. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, California to Carolina, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, we are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They found a better way to mortgage that you can focus on making your new house your home. Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. How we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us. Big show coming up for you this morning. We've got Gabe Kiremi, former unanimous All-American offensive lineman at Wisconsin, All-Big Ten. He won the Outland Trophy there as well, best interior lineman in the country, first-round draft pick of the Chicago Bears. We'll talk NFL playoffs with Gabe Kiremi coming up here in hour number three. In hour number four, Ian Rappaport will join us. NFL insider from the NFL Network. We'll talk about this upcoming weekend's championship games and as the coaching carousel turns. Speaking of the NFL, today we will discuss Luke Kuechly's retirement. Just 28 years old, one of the best linebackers in the game, if not the best all-around linebacker, ends up retiring before the age of 30. Should the NFL be concerned about something like that? More signs in New England that people are really trying to read a lot of tea leaves over whether the Patriots expect Tom Brady to leave. We've got that story coming up here in hour number two. Odell Beckham handing out fake money on Monday night at the national championship game.
It's about the money. M-O-N-E-Y-D-A.
All the NFL stories that we will be talking about this morning here on the show. Also, we are stunned to a news, and LSU is losing the mastermind behind its offense along with Joe Burrow. So all of that coming up this morning on the show. As always, you can hit us up on the phones, won't you? Hit us up on the phones, toll free, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter, you can connect with us as well, DA on CBS. We must begin with the continuing fallout of Major League Baseball's investigation into the sign-stealing saga of the 2017 Houston Astros. We talked about this yesterday, and now we'll continue today because more fallout is Alex Cora is fired by the Red Sox. They say mutually parted ways, but my guess is that Alex Cora didn't want to be fired. Was this not amazing timing by Major League Baseball to announce this on the day of the national championship game? I mean, think about this. This entire investigation began during the World Series when assistant GM of the Astros, Brandon Taubman, aggressively taunted the three female reporters about Osuna's signing and domestic violence, and then Major League Baseball was forced to look into the, quote, culture of the Astros organization. That was October. They've investigated into November, into December, into January. They could have dropped this story today. They could have dropped this story tomorrow. They could have dropped this story next week. But instead, they decided to do it on the day of the national championship game. And my guess is that's not a coincidence. My guess is they were hoping that it would be swallowed up in part by LSU Clemson, which it was yesterday, but not today. Not today, as the fallout continues, Alex Cora now fired. And so we start peeling back the layers on this, and the whistleblower was Mike Fiers. Now, Mike Fiers has got to be the single most anonymous two-time no-hitter pitcher ever. If I were to ask you what you think Mike Fiers' notable accomplishment is, I don't think anybody would say two no-hitters. Two of them! What? This guy was left off the postseason roster for the Houston Astros in 2017. And perhaps he had an axe to grind. And he spoke to the league, and he put his name to it. Put my name on it. Put some respect on my name. Mike Fiers did this, and in baseball circles, the whistleblower is almost always the pariah. If you blow the whistle, if you discuss what is happening inside the culture of your locker room, your clubhouse, whether it's sign stealing, PED use, or something else, in baseball parlance, you are a rat. You are not a hero. You are a rat. And yesterday, former Astros manager Phil Garner, longtime baseball lifer, said exactly that. For us on the outside, great. Mike Fiers was the only guy that was willing to put his name on it, and that's how it got this far. Inside the game, though, a different definition. So is Fiers a hero or a rat? It's where we begin. You're cold open.
I think he'd be viewed as a rat, okay? If it was a big deal for you, why didn't you bring it up while you were in the Astros? Why didn't you step up and stop it? You're going to wait until you go another team? You're going to enjoy the fruits of the if there's any success being had by cheating, you're enjoying that while you're the Astros. Then when you go away, I don't like that anymore. So to me, that's not a very good standard. And I think most baseball players will look at it that way.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
That was Phil Garner on Sports Radio 610 in Houston. Okay, now Phil Garner, just to give you some context, his nickname from decades in baseball is Scrap Iron. So anybody nicknamed Scrap Iron is probably going to be really old school when it comes to this type of thing. Garner's point is, if Fiers had such a problem with it, why not try to stop it when you're there? And that, I think, is ludicrous. You're talking about one of the employees telling the boss, we're not going to do this anymore. That's not realistic. If you are a player and you don't engage in that, okay, that's your own personal statement, but you're not going to clean up an organization as a player. If the manager or the coach is the one organizing this or understanding this or looking over this, you're not going to tell that coach or manager or general manager, let's knock this off. And what baseball has said is, while it was quote-unquote player run, Alex Cora and A.J. Hinch absolutely were ringleaders or understood the severity of this. Now, I do think there's a part of this that's hypocrisy by Major League Baseball to say it's player run and organized, but none of the players are going to be suspended or punished. But I don't think it's realistic to have asked Mike Fiers, one of 25 guys, you should have cleaned up the entire clubhouse. This right here is the problem with baseball.
And this was the problem in the PED era, and it will forever be a problem. The code of silence. That you should be shamed into not saying anything. So if Mike Fiers doesn't put his name to it, then we just continue to have the Astros, the Red Sox, and other teams cheating and getting a competitive advantage. And that's what Garner would rather. He would prefer that baseball doesn't clean up its own henhouse. But that, to me, is the idiocy about some types of codes of sports silence. Don't say anything about your clubhouse. Keep it in-house and just let things be. And that's never how something gets better. If you just shove it into the corner, you keep it out of the spotlight, you keep it in darkness, nothing ever gets exposed as dysfunctional, problematic, or criminal. Phil Garner calling Fiers a rat is why this type of thing can go on for so long at a high level, and it is a ridiculous take on what has ended up happening. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. You know, if Jose Canseco wasn't such a loon, Jose Canseco could be lauded as the PED whistleblower. He could be lauded as a historical figure. But instead, because he's such a crackpot, we just kind of brush him off as a clown, and we don't remember that he was the first guy willing to put his name on the line of this is what is happening, and not just with me. Ken Caminiti said this is what is happening with me, but Canseco said this is what is happening with others. Around baseball, Mike Fiers, pariah. But in reality, I wouldn't call him a hero. I think there's obviously a part of this where he was vengeful, perhaps, or just more than willing to talk because he was no longer part of the team and maybe he felt wronged. But he's not a rat. He might not be a hero, but he's not a villain either. 855-212-4227, our toll-free line. Brought to you by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote, geico.com. Easy! Mike is in Boise, Idaho, listening to 93.1 The Ticket there. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How you doing?
I'm all right. So good. I think Cora should be banned from baseball. I think his brother should be banned. I think his whole family should be banned from the sport of baseball.
His family?
Oh, yeah. For the example that, I mean, think of all the kids that play baseball. The example that he's setting, cheaters do prosper.
Well,
at the end of the day, the guy's got two World Series rings.
So how about A.J. Hinch? Same thing?
Hinch, yeah, ban him. Absolutely. Ban him.
And his family.
Maybe not his kids, like Cora's, but he should be banned. He should be Pete Rose as well.
Okay, so where do you draw the line on why Cora's a worse criminal than Hinch?
Yes.
And why is that?
He did it with two teams.
Okay.
And I hate the Red Sox.
Okay. All right. So that seems to make more sense. I don't think I would ban their kids. I don't think I would ban their families from baseball. Look, Cora should be suspended minimum of a year while also losing his job, just like Hinch. And I would be fine if it's more than a year. I would be fine if it's 2 years or even 3 years. Or if you said he cannot be a manager at Major League Baseball, that he can't rise to that level of control over a clubhouse or a dugout, I'd be okay with that. Because it certainly seems as though Alex Cora was the lead dog on cheating. And you're right, Mike, it's two different places. I don't think I would go banned for life or banned for his family for life. Whereas, do you look at Mike Fiers as a hero, a rat, or somewhere in between?
I think somewhere in between. Hero is a little strong because I think they'll just be the next cheating scandal in some way in baseball because there seems to be one every 10 years. But as far as a rat goes, every single person, unless you watch a mob movie, is a rat. No matter what, when held against the fire, you will sell out anybody to save yourself.
You will sell out anybody.
You will.
You will.
The body will. Bogus will. So to call him a rat, I mean, rats are everybody. If it means saving yourself or trying to get a leg up, he got dumped to the side by the Astros, and he's going to say, well, screw you. Now I'm going to tell everybody what you were doing. And you know what? Same thing happens. If we witness a crime and they're going to put us away, you're ratting. We are all rats. And if you don't rat, you are a liar.
Bilotti, does this make you feel any more comfortable about working next to Mraz?
I don't know about that, but I would say it's probably in the middle somewhere with Fires.
Do you think that everybody is a rat? Everybody would sell out their teammates, their coworkers, somebody else to save their own hide?
I think everyone has a little bit of selfishness in them.
Here's the thing about...
You wouldn't rat anything.
I'm not saying that. I don't know.
You would.
I'd like to think I've got a stronger code, but here's the thing about Mike Fiers. Fiers isn't employed to protect baseball. He's not even employed to protect his teammates. He's employed to throw a baseball. And so if he's asked an honest question, hey, is this happening? I don't think it's a big deal for him to say, yes, this is happening.
Right.
I don't think that's a big deal.
Who does he owe it to? Also, doesn't he owe it to the brotherhood of pitchers that they're getting robbed by hitters on teams cheating?
Maybe.
Isn't maybe the brotherhood of pitchers a little stronger than the 24 guys he played with the Astros for a year or two? I think that means something. Good for Mike Fiers. I'm happy for him. Everybody should be a rat in that situation.
Everybody.
And now, guess what? The game's getting cleaned up a little bit. And frankly, it's paving the way for a Yankee World Series. So to me, Mike Fiers deserves a ring.
I applaud. Yeah, exactly. I applaud Mike Fiers as well. But I think probably calling him a hero is a little bit much. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter, DA on CBS. Robin the 321 tweets, Dear DA, Mike Fiers should be careful in the future. He may get burned by his other teammates. Signed, Smokey the Bear, parentheses, who doesn't have a long tail. All right, we'll continue talking about the fallout around the Astros, the Red Sox, and Major League Baseball. Will Carlos Beltran be the next guy to lose his job? He's the manager of the Mets. He is obviously part of this Astros web of deceit as well. We'll keep discussing this. Also, when we return, the national champions lose an enormous part of their coaching staff. What does this mean for the LSU Tigers? DA, mornings aboard the mothership, CBS Sports Radio.
To be zapped.
Oh, DA, I got some exciting news for you. My whole family is listening right now because they know how big of a fan I am of you and Mraz and the show.
We're having a baby, DA. Beam us up!
All right! Wow, that is a first. We have never had a baby announcement made over the show.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Watch the show for your baby announcements at watchda.com. That's mobile friendly, available on any device. No sign up, no subscription, no fee, no cable provider needed. Just go to watchda.com on your phone. Watch it on your desktop, your laptop, on the smart TV. Watchda.com. It's an Ask the Pros day where you get to pick a question, any question. Send me a question at DA on CBS. We'll answer it later on in the show. Ask the Pros brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service. At O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Our poll question is up at CBS Sports Radio on Twitter. Push come to shove, would you be a rat? Would you sing like a canary? Like Mike Fiers did. Vote in our poll question. We'll give you our analytics department breakdown coming up in the final segment of the show. Sam is next up. He's in Florence, South Carolina, listening on 100.1 there. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, DA. Do me a favor and beam me up.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. I've been waiting years to say that. Anyway, it's been something. Let me ask you this. Okay, so Pete Rose gets banned for life for betting, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, this is just as bad, if not worse. Am I correct?
Is it worse? Well, it's not worse than betting against your own team. Because if you're betting against your own team, you're trying to lose. In this case, you're finding advantages to win.
Okay. Well, what do you think? Why wouldn't you, okay, they fined him $5 million. It's hundreds of millions of dollars that's being produced. $5 million fine? Why wouldn't they take the World Series from him?
Well, that's a good question, man. I think, number one, is the fine big enough? No, because you're right. I mean, $5 million is a drop in the bucket to these guys. Although, I've heard some baseball insiders say, look, if you fine any of these owners anything, that's when you really get their attention because it's their money that they just have to pay out of pocket. And $5 million is still, to billionaires, $5 million. But why aren't they going to take away the World Series? I'll tell you why. Baseball doesn't want that stickiness. They don't want that to have to try to go down that road. Vacating World Series, vacating championships is not something that they do outside of college sports. So they just don't want to do that because they've wanted to make this as tidy as possible, which is why they didn't punish any of the players, which I do find utterly ridiculous. You're saying that the players were the one running the thing, running the scandal, and yet you're not going to punish anybody that was actually a player. I mean, the only way that any of the players get theirs is that if Carlos Beltran gets fired and or suspended because he was a player then and a manager now, but any of the players that are still players or a player that has retired is not in any way going to be punished. But I just don't think baseball wants to make this that dramatic. I think they want to make this as clean and concise as possible, which is why they're not going to vacate championships. And then we go to, well, who then deserves that championship? I think that that's just not something they want to do. Now, that would be the ultimate punishment for all the players, no doubt. Take away the rings. I don't know if you can actually seize the rings, but tell them that they're no longer champions. Yeah, that's a big deal. But baseball doesn't want to get that messy with it. College football-wise, Joe Brady ends up leaving LSU for Carolina, becomes the offensive coordinator for the Carolina Panthers under Matt Rhule. That's a big loss. You know, Joe Brady had mentioned that he wanted to stay at LSU, and the moment that they no longer had a game to play, he took the job in Carolina. Joe Brady was the difference from a schematic standpoint of why LSU jumped into the future versus being stuck in the past. For decades, LSU's offense was totally archaic. And in one fell swoop, Joe Brady hired away from the Saints, modernized that passing attack, and had the perfect guy to do so, obviously being Joe Burrow and what he did. You can't separate the two. It's not just that Joe Burrow was dynamite, because he was, but it was that he fit perfectly and Joe Burrow knew how to take advantage of Joe Brady's offense, and Brady knew how to get the best out of Burrow. So these are two enormous losses for LSU to lose both Burrow and Brady in one fell swoop. Not surprising, and Burrow was out of eligibility. Not surprised that Brady got this job, but it is an enormous loss. And I think what you have to hope here, if you're an LSU fan, is that by virtue of winning the national championship, you not only get not a flood of talent coming in, and LSU has always recruited really well, even when they didn't win a national championship, but now it's going to be even the next level, but that your flood of brain power comes in, because now there's assistant coaches that want to either be promoted from within or that you can draw upon from outside your program, because now you're a destination for the offense. An offensive mind, you feel like that's a destination. You can get a better job going there or be paid well by staying there. That's what you have to hope that LSU sees and turn that narrative into a positive. Go to LSU, good things happen, player and coach. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, Twitter DA on CBS. Andrew Bogish, Mike Fiers, hero or rat?
Neither. He's not a hero. He's certainly not a rat. He's not a rat for pointing his fingers at guys breaking rules. That does not make you a rat.
Pretty wild that Phil Garner said that, isn't it?
I mean,
maybe
yes.
Not surprising because he's so old school.
Exactly. And it's been said before about Fiers already. I mean, that was the initial, which always is surprising to me when it shouldn't. Normally, when somebody blows the whistle and tells us about bad things, the initial reaction is about them breaking the code and being a rat and being a snitch. Not, oh, I wonder what he actually, if he said it, it's true, let's go figure that out. And when you find out it's true, then he's not certain not a snitch anymore. So no, I have no problem with Mike Fiers. I don't think he's a hero, because in the end, we are talking about baseball, not national security, not saving lives, but he's definitely not a snitch.
The only thing I will argue with Bogus for is he said he's not a rat because, you know, you shouldn't be, whatever, called a rat for pointing out somebody breaking the rules. Well, what exactly is a rat then? You're never going to rat somebody out for doing something good.
Yeah, I guess then I don't know. If you're, to me, you can't
be... is being a rat.
But like, but in my head, you can't be a rat, which is obviously negative, if you're speaking the truth about something that needs to be told out loud.
Okay, but...
and needs to be fixed.
If your friend murders somebody and he's on the lam and you don't rat him out, you're not being a rat. But if you say he did it, you're a rat.
But
and
you should say he did it.
That's why it's called a rat, is it not?
Right, but it shouldn't be a negative to say, go, please go arrest the guy that's killing people.
I agree with you, but that's what a rat is. You're ratting out somebody doing something bad.
I understand what the term is, and I can't, off the top of my head, give you a good example of when it would be correct to call somebody a rat because they deserve to be. I mean, maybe, like, if you were stealing, you know, cans of soda from here and I told on you, maybe that makes me a rat because who really cares in the end? But when something is real and needs to be addressed, and I tell you it needs to be addressed, that's not a negative.
So the level of the crime could define whether you're a rat.
Yeah, like maybe if you're being a snitch and you're being a tattletale for no reason, like it's a kid's thing. But like as adults, when we're talking about like real things that need to be addressed, I think calling somebody a rat is you're missing the point.
So
of the whole.
If the violation is insignificant, then it's not ratting out.
Right. Like if I'm doing it to get you in trouble out of spite, then I'm a rat.
No,
then
sorry.
I'm a snitch.
If it's insignificant, you are a rat. If it is a significant violation, you are not a rat. You're just
right.
An informant.
But still, no matter what you're doing, so the only way you could be ratted on is if you did something wrong. Now you want to determine what's a better thing to do wrong than not. He was a rat. And that's fine. Everybody is a rat.
But you said he's not a rat.
No, I said everybody's a rat.
Yes, because I agree with Sean that we all have our breaking point. I mean,
right.
At some point,
we
it's
would
about
all
self-preservation.
Rat for something. There's no doubt. If we spot something wrong going on and we are asked about it, we are all, as human beings, going to rat. And if you claim you are not a rat.
I think everybody. I think it depends on what your personal interests are. If you didn't find any benefit in it, I don't think you would rat.
If they pressed you on it, absolutely.
You had something that you were sacrificing.
The only way you wouldn't rat is if the alternative is by not ratting, you're going to serve 25 years in jail. But if you do rat, you know you're going to get murdered and have your head lopped off. That's the only way you wouldn't rat.
You're weighing your options.
Right.
You will rat if that option is better than not ratting.
Exactly. Ultimately, though, everybody's a rat. Everybody's got rat instincts.
And rat instincts.
Mike Fiers is no different.
You've got a high rat instinct.
Hold on. What have I sold you guys down a river about?
What have
Who
we
knows?
Done to be sold down a river?
I don't know what you've told the bosses.
I don't tell the bosses anything bad, but if you do something bad and I get pressed on it and it's going to result in me getting in trouble, absolutely, you're all sold down a river.
Well, the whole station's sold down the river in that case.
This is our poll question. If you were pressed, would you be a rat? You can vote at CBS Sports Radio.
The only Mike Fiers conversation that I think is legitimate here is for all of the guys who were on those teams when they won and didn't say anything in the moment. There is a little bit of an issue after the fact going, hey, by the way, this was happening there. Like, I would prefer you, if you're going to tell us these stories, you should tell us as soon as possible, not when it becomes, again, more beneficial to you. But it still doesn't make him a snitch or a bad guy in my head.
Look, I see that point because I do find it laughable nowadays when players will say, well, yeah, I mean, there was a PED problem happening. And you're like, well, where were you 20 years ago?
Right.
They're like, well, I just didn't know the extent of it. I didn't think it was that big of a deal at that point in time. But suddenly everybody found Jesus. Oh, now we realize in perspective, yeah, it was a really big deal. I have to laugh. Like, yeah, at the time, you knew it was a big deal. You just didn't have an excuse to talk about it or thought you couldn't talk about it.
Which is why, you know, all the guys who are going to speak up now better be super careful and 1,000% sure that their team wasn't doing anything outside the rules. If they're going to whine about we could have won this or won that, and I understand the hard feelings, but they better be sure that their teams weren't ever doing anything on the down low either.
The voice of that kind, sir, is Andrew Bogus. She is in with headlines this morning. Good morning, Andrew.
Guys, our first headlines are sponsored by the NFL. Thanks to you, Huddle for 100 surpassed its goal of 100 million minutes. Volunteer in your community this holiday season. Which holiday that is, I don't know. To spread the spirit of service, log your minutes at NFL.com/huddle4100. As you were just mentioning, DA, LSU knew it wouldn't have Joe Burrow next season, but now the Tigers are losing the QB's mentor as well. Passing game coordinator Joe Brady expected to be the Carolina Panthers' new offensive coordinator. Brady is just 30.
30.
And he was a Saints offensive assistant in 2017 and 18.
30 years old. I mean, I always hate doing this because everybody feels old all the time, no matter what age you are, really. Like, past the age of 20, everybody always feels old. But when you think about what you didn't accomplish by the age of 30.
Or still haven't accomplished by the age of 39.
Exactly. Or whatever age you are. But when you think back to the age of 30, imagine being an offensive coordinator in the NFL. 30! That's like when Theo Epstein got the GM job of the Red Sox at like 29 years old.
The only thing worse than this is now all of the kids of guys I watched growing up now playing at least college, if not in the pros.
Oh, you're toast.
Like, I'm prepping for a game next week with Jameer Nelson Jr., who plays at George Washington. Jameer Nelson was in college when I was in college at St. Joseph's.
Well, look, Randy Moss's kid just played on Monday night.
I know.
Randy Moss's kid. Now, who doesn't remember Randy Moss's rookie season? Who doesn't remember Randy Moss in college? That does not seem that long ago.
No.
And now his kid is catching passes in a national championship game.
Yeah, I'm out. So Brady's arrival is the good news for the Panthers. The bad news is the departure of Luke Kuechly. The 28-year-old linebacker is retiring. He did not give a specific reason except for this.
There's only one way to play this game since I was a little kid is to play fast and play physical and play strong. And at this point, I don't know if I'm able to do that anymore. And that's the part that is the most difficult is.
Kuechly got emotional multiple times in the video posted on social media last night. He filmed that video in the linebacker's room at Panthers headquarters. Kuechly, first team All-Pro 5 times, twice led the NFL in tackles. Antonio Gates was the first to announce his retirement yesterday. He should be in the Hall of Fame as soon as possible. Gates, 17th all-time in catches, 3rd among tight ends. He didn't play this season. So now we get to baseball, and just to recap, the Red Sox have now dumped manager Alex Cora in connection to the Astros' sign-stealing scheme. Cora may also have overseen cheating in Boston in 2018. MLB yet to formally punish him, but Boston really had no choice but to begin the divorce. Free agent third baseman Josh Donaldson has reportedly chosen the Twins, 4 years and $92 million, another 12 mil possible through incentives. Donaldson clubbed 37 homers, 94 RBI last season for the Braves, who used to play in SunTrust Park.
Yes.
But SunTrust recently merged with BB&T Bank.
Uh-huh.
So now Atlanta Stadium is called Truist Park.
Truist.
T-R-U-I-S-T. Truist Park.
You know, I just wish that some of these organizations wouldn't just take the money no matter what the name is. I wish that some of them would say, well, you know what? You might be paying that money, but it's not worth the embarrassment of that name on our stadium. This happens a lot. I'm like, that's really who you're going to take the money from?
Right.
Guaranteed rate field.
There's so many bad ones. There is such a slew of disgraceful corporate names on ballparks. And now Truist Park?
Truist.
Truist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The Utah Jazz winning streak has hit double figures.
Jazz by 11, 6 minutes to play. Looking for their 10th straight win. Donovan, rise and fire. 3 straight away. Filthy. 105-91. That quiets the crowd.
David Locke on Jazz Radio. Donovan Mitchell scored 25. 27 from Joe Ingles. 22 and 18 boards from Rudy Gobert. All in a 118-107 victory in Brooklyn. Just a 6-game run for the Grizzlies. 121-110 winners over the Rockets. Another efficient night for James Harden. 41 points on 37 shots. 43 points in just 28 minutes is more like it. That was Kawhi Leonard's line in the Clippers' 128-103 route of the Cavaliers. Giannis put up 37 in 21 as the Bucks pounded the Knicks in Milwaukee 128-102. College Hoops number 3 Duke took a 79-72 tumble at Clemson. It's the highest-ranked team the Tigers have knocked off since number 1 North Carolina back in 2001.
Big week for the Clemson
How
Tigers.
How about that? First ever win in North Carolina football, and then this one last night.
First ever win in North Carolina? First ever?
They were 0-59.
Okay, so they had lost every game for 59 years, basically, at UNC.
Correct.
They finally win that last week.
Mm-hmm.
They then are in the national championship game. Obviously didn't end up winning, but they're in the national championship game. And then they win versus Duke.
Yeah, at home, storm the court. Everybody's happy again.
Time
all
for
in 4 days.
Championship game for the Clemson Tigers basketball team.
So yesterday we had Bruins forward Brad Marchand leaving the puck behind him and wasting his shootout attempt, giving the Flyers the win. Today we have Wild head coach and maybe Sean's real dad, Bruce Boudreau, filling out his lineup card incorrectly pregame. He wrote down forward Ryan Donato instead of defenseman Greg Pattern.
I looked and the thing was full. I figured I did it right, but it's a dumb mistake. Never done that before, and to start the game with 5D, I take full blame for that.
Right, so the issue meant that the Wild played with 13 forwards, only 5 defensemen instead of 12 and 6. They lost to the Penguins 7-3. Sidney Crosby a goal and 3 assists in his return from core muscle surgery, which cost him 28 games.
I love when hockey coaches or players apologize, because in other sports, it's always defined. It's, you know, American sports is you never admit any flaw. Like Bill Belichick will never, ever admit that something went wrong under his watch. Nick Saban will never, ever admit. He will bite off your hand. And in hockey, it's like, yeah, I'm really sorry about that. I was a dumb head. I forgot to put the right names on the lineup card, and we went out and we lost by 6 goals. That's definitely my fault. I'm just a totally dodo stupid head.
We finally found an accent you could do. Your Gruden is terrible. It's kind of Wisconsin-ish, but you can do Canadian.
You know, I think that you guys undersell my John Gruden.
No, we don't.
Yeah.
The problem is it starts good. You can't keep it up. It tails after like 8 words.
Sean, I need football players here, all right?
No, this one's starting as Ditka.
Sean, this guy's a player. Football players. We need more of these football players on this team.
Is Gruden having deep dish? Yeah,
I mean, seriously, have your heart attack, George Wentz. Let's go.
Stop, Bears.
Got it up. Bratwurst from 2 Tuesdays ago.
The same accent.
Same person.
Look, there's an element of it. You got to find the element of it.
Not the whole thing.
All right. Thank you, Andrew. When we come back here on the show, your best audio of the day. That includes Pete Rose weighing in on the Astros penalty right here on CBS Sports Radio. So we'll hear from Pete coming up here next. Charlie Hustle, DA, mornings aboard the mothership on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Glad you're with us. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Morning, 6 until 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific. Here's Andy Reid on the Chiefs being realistic about why they lost to the Titans earlier this season.
Well, I want them to be real about what happened. I mean, we lost the game. So, I mean, and then why? Let's figure that part out. And then work to fix that problem. And so we do that every week. And no different than when we played Tennessee before. They beat us. I mean, they beat us in 3 different phases. So, I mean, you know, they're a good football team, and we've got to do a better job than that.
This is Andy Reid guarding his team against looking past the Titans and already into the Super Bowl. They are at home, AFC Championship game. I'm sure they think it's going to be an easier challenge than playing the Patriots or playing the Ravens, not having to go on the road to Baltimore. I think he is guarding his team against already counting their tickets to Miami, and that is smart because the Chiefs aren't there yet, and while they're a favorite at home in this game, they should not be looking past the Titans because the Titans have the ability to beat them again. Pete Rose joined Tiki and Tierney right here on CBS Sports Radio. Did Rob Manfred hand out a big enough penalty to the Astros?
It's players like me to make his job so difficult. And, you know, he didn't hand down that bad of a punishment. Yeah. The owner of the Houston Astros is the one that hand down the punishment.
That's true.
He fired the guys forever. Manfred gave the guys a year, and he took the number one and number two draft choice away from them, and he fined them $5 million. Well, $5 million is like paying the 202 hitter.
I gave Joe DiMaggio a shower.
That's all I'll ever be able to hear when Pete Rose speaks. Him talking about Joe DiMaggio's incredible endowment after he gave him a shower in Vietnam.
Yeah, that's actually a thing that happened. You can look it up. I think that baseball did hammer Hinch and Luno and the Astros hard, but they went so remarkably easy on the players that it doesn't feel like it's enough, because you're saying it's a player-run scandal or organized scheme, and then none of the players actually got punished. Here's Jimmy Haslam, Browns owner, on Baker Mayfield getting criticized by the media.
I think Baker was given a hard time, I will say, this year by a lot of people. We talked to 8 head coaches, some of them offensive, some of them defensive, and their comments in terms of his ability to play quarterback were all outstanding. Now, Baker's like all of us. He can get better, and he has some things to work on, but the confidence in when these outsiders looking at our team, and particularly looking at Baker, was outstanding.
I know that you want to defend your guys. I know that you want to make sure that Baker understands that he is protected within the organization. But I just feel like sometimes the Browns don't see their own flaws. And especially a guy like Baker Mayfield, they're always kowtowing to. That's why they hired Freddie Kitchens last year. And I just hope that they move off of that spot, because Baker's not going to get any better if nobody within that organization challenges him to be better. And there were so many times this season where he was not better, he was worse. And finally, earlier this morning, less than an hour ago, there was quite the transaction right here on CBS Sports Radio as Amy Lawrence and Andrew Bogish got ready for Andrew's headlines.
Would you give your left nut for a slice of pizza?
I'll just read my update.
Really? Wait, did you not hear what happened? I feel very free. I can just say it.
You know, now that you mention it, that is a popular phrase, and I wonder how the left one became the expendable one. Right?
I don't know. Never mind. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah! That's for tomorrow's show.
Today, we're still on pizza, please. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Andrew Bogish.
How about that lead-in question? Can we just play that right off the top? Imagine being Bogish and getting ready to do the headline and being tossed this meatball.
Would you give your left nut for a slice of pizza?
Whoa! Good morning!
No, never mind. I don't want to talk about it.
Good morning. Good to see you.
Personally, I'd rather spend the $4, but that's just me.
What a wild and frisky Wednesday morning here on CBS Sports Radio. And you got to hand it to Bogish. He had a good line there saying, you know, how did the left one become expendable?
That's why you pay Bogish at 5:30 a.m. to do that spot.
That's why you pay Bogish the big bucks. I don't know how I could respond to that, but that is an amazing question. And, you know, they were discussing their favorite toppings on a pizza, because I guess this is Pizza Week, International Pizza Week, National Pizza Week, I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. I know today was Bagel Day. Now it's Pizza Week.
I guess it's Pizza Week, so they were discussing their favorite toppings of the pizza. And then it just got to that, and I said, whoa, I like it. Wild and Woolly right here on CBS Sports Radio. When we come back, should the NFL be concerned that Luke Kuechly just stepped away at 28 years old?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.